I worked on this message last night after we came in from Brother Griffiths and finished the introduction in 2 points and got up this morning and crumpled it up and threw it in the trash and started all over and wound up with 4 pages of notes. And so I don't know what time we might leave here today. Are you hungry? I'm glad you said amen, Brother Wayne. I won't say, if some of them said no, I'd have closed the Bible and went to the house. I'm not talking about hungry for beefsteak. Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. No, I won't keep any longer than we normally do. If we run out of time, why, we'll... I'm like a... About like a train anyway. I can about unhook and hook up about anywhere. It don't make any difference. And Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. I want to read 2 verses, and that will be found in 11 and 12. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning hour that You brought us to. Thank You, Lord, for the Scripture that is before us today. I pray that You'll quicken this text to our hearts. God, that You'll make it alive, that You'll make it powerful, sharp to our soul today. And Father, I pray for the divine, wonderful, and holy presence of the Lord. And for that warmth that fills our soul when we enter into Thy divine presence. I pray, Lord, that You'd help our people. God, that You'd truly stir us for real revival. And Father, that You'd look upon us in our spiritual condition as it is and show mercy and grace and honor us today with Your presence. And God, that You'd stir our hearts and bless us and help us, enable us, Lord, to overcome the mountains that stand between us and Thee, that we might again enjoy perfect fellowship and communion with our Lord. I pray that You'll save sinners. Lord, that You'll bless those that may be listening elsewhere today, either by the radio or by the internet. I pray that You'd bless their hearts and stir them as well. Meet a need that they have, satisfy their souls. Lord, we're living in an hour when men are looking in various places for satisfaction. But Lord, they'll never be satisfied till they drink that well of living water, that well that springs up in our soul unto everlasting life. I do pray that You'll give grace and power this morning to the preacher. Provide unction, Lord, that I desperately need and a listening heart and ear today. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for what You do for us in Jesus' lovely name and for His sake. Amen and amen. I want to read verse number 11 again for us this day, where the Bible said there, come, my beloved. This is our bride. This is the church speaking to her Lord. And she says, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Now, I want to preach, if God will help me for a little while this morning, on the thought of desires for the right company. Desires that the church ought to have for the right company. And I want to say from the very beginning that that company is with the Lord. We ought to desire that company with Him. She says, come, my beloved, and let us go forth into the field. Not somebody else, but Him. Not another, not a stranger, but Him.
Amen.
not a friend that she may have met along the way, but Him. Come, my beloved, and let us go in to the field and let us lodge in the villages. Now, if you remember in the previous verses, the Lord has been speaking to His bride. He's been describing herself to her. And in doing so, He uses many, many words, endearing words, and words of love and affection He uses toward her. And I believe that she really and finally recognizes and realizes that Christ loves her. I want to say that again. I think she finally understands that Christ loves her. May I say to you, church, it's one thing to say that we understand He loves us with our lips. But it is another thing for our life to radiate the fact that He loves us. I mean, just knowing He loves us or to do something in our heart to motivate us and to give us some degree of victory in our life as we live spiritually upon this sinful earth for the glory and honor of God. Then I believe she finally recognizes the fact that He loves her. After all, if you please, He's been speaking these words into her ear in close communion. They have been very closely together in their fellowship. And the words that precedes this, they're words that are not said out in public. You don't discuss this type of intimate love relationship out in the public. I mean, it's something that's done in the quietude of your own home. That's right. We don't court our wives in public. We don't make a public show of our brides when we're out yonder in the world. Miss Hall and I went to Evansville the other night to do a little Christmas shopping. And she is upstairs, and I went back to the car. I come back, got on that escalator to go up, and there's a man and woman about three-fourths of the way up in front of me. And as I stepped on, of course, she looked up to that thing. And about that time, he just reached out with his hand and locked her, buddy, right on the right hip. That woman jumped and looked at him, and then she smiled real big. But I'm going to tell you, when they turned and looked back down the escalator and saw me, the smile disappeared. I want to say, friend, there is a place for courtship. And it's not out in the public. You don't put your hands on your wife in private places while you're out in the public. And what is going on here, he is whispering in her ear. They're having an intimate fellowship in the solitude of their home, if you please. And I think she realizes that he's not just leading her on. Some of you older heads understand what that term is. There's a lot of young boys today, girls, are you listening? They'll want to lead you on and make you think that they're in love with you, and you're going to find out somewhere down the line that they're really not in love with you. Amen. Because a young man that's really in love with a woman would not ever think about touching her in places that he ought not, regardless of whether it is in private or in public. And I'll say this, if you're not married, you don't have any right to be anywhere in private or public with another man unless you're chaperoned by your mom and daddy. Amen. Some of you parents must be letting some of your children get away by themselves alone. I've been hearing some of them are humming some rock music back in the school. Even using some of the lyrics to the songs back in the school. I want to address that right now and clarify it right now to you parents. I don't care which child it is. I hear your child singing rock music in that school. I'm going to bust their behind. You signed a contract to that effect. Now, I'm just meddling a little bit. We'll get to the message here in a little while. We're talking about romance. Romance and courtship ought to be done in a right way, in the right places and at the right time. Amen and amen. And she realizes that he's not just leading her on, but that he really, 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 really loves her. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because in verse 10, she says, "I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me." Hallelujah to God. This thing about loving God and being saved and living eternally is not some toy and plaything. It is an absolute reality of life and a fact of life, son, that we are going to be in the presence of God someday. That God really, 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 really loved us. And that God really, really, really died for us. And that God really, really, really rose again for us. And God really, really, really is coming again in clouds of glory for us. Amen. He loves you that much. I think one of the hardest things in Baptist churches to get Baptists to realize that God loves them. He's not just playing a game with them. But that love is a special place in the... You hold a special, special place in the heart of God. Amen. She says, his desire is toward me. Recognizing the fact it created a great desire within her. A great desire within her. Amen. Within her heart. Not only, my friend, to realize that, but to be in His company. Amen. Realizing He loved her. She said, "Come, my beloved. Amen. Let you and me now." Amen. I mean, this thing is between you and me. Let you and me go into the fields. Let us go together and lodge in the villages. What about you and me spending some wonderful time together? That's what I want to preach on this morning. What about you and I, as a child of God, spending some wonderful, holy time together with Him that loved us and died that we might be saved by the good grace of God? Remember chapter 2? He come through the night, for His hair had the dew of the night. He come through the night and stood at our door that He might have fellowship with us. Amen. To spend time with us. To be in our company. Amen. And God help us when we're not desirous of the company of God in our life. When we would rather spend our time with somebody else than we would spend our time with God. Some of you women would rather keep the roads hot than an automobile than to spend time with God. Can't stand being at home alone. Son, make use of that time. Now, I'm not saying you've got to stay in prayer and read your Bible 15 hours a day. But I am saying if you get acquainted with Him and let Him correct your heart one time and kiss you with the kisses of His mouth, I guarantee you, you'll want to go back for the second hug. Amen. I ain't never been hugged by my wife, but I didn't want to go back for another hug. Amen to God. I know that's right. She desires to have His company in every area of her life. In the field, in the village, and in the vineyard, she says, "Let us go there in these places together." Now, I'm going to tell you, we'll never have revival. You'll never have the power of God. You'll never have the blessings of God. You'll never understand the Word of God. You'll never enjoy the grace of God until you become acquainted with the God that's made it possible for you. And you'll never get acquainted until you spend time in His company. Am I preaching something, Harrison? Or am I telling you right? I believe I'm telling it right, ain't I? Now listen carefully now. Three or four things and I'll get to the message. If she desires his company, then that means that she is willing to forsake all others that she might have him. Come, she said, my beloved, and let us go into the field. Not a crowd of folk, just you and me. Not another company of believers, Lord, just you and me. Now, if you're going with just you and him, then you must be willing to forsake all others that you might spend time in his company. Now, I'm going to tell you who I thought about when I read that. I thought about little old Ruth. Yeah, and I'm not talking about our Ruth. I'm talking about Ruth in the book of Ruth. Same name, different lady, no doubt. But I thought about Ruth and Naomi when Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem and she had the two daughters-in-law and she kissed them and told them just to stay there in the land where they were. And the one that did that, but not Ruth. Ruth said to her, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be married, and the Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death depart you and me. Amen. Son, I got news for you. Death ain't even going to part us. Woo! Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto death. And I'm telling you, love is strong as death, son. And death is not even going to part us from his company. I'm glad I have a paraclete, the Holy Ghost. I want everybody to sit down, quit running around while I'm trying to preach. I'm telling you, some of you need to hear this in the worst way. That's why you can't smile. That's why you have no joy. That's why you have no victory, son. You are not dwelling in his company. We're fellowshipping with everybody and doing everything but spending our time alone with God Almighty. And until we get in that holy place where he is, like Brother Wayne said in Sunday school, every stick of furniture in the outer court was designed to bring the believer behind the pale in the presence of God. That's my hobby horse. I see the importance of it. And I wouldn't give a flip. We don't jump no pews. But Naomi and Ruth was willing to forsake her kindred in her land, her family, her friends, everything she had in her own land that she might dwell with Naomi. And son, we ought to have that same earnest desire in forsaking all others that we might. By the way, when you took that oath, that covenant to your wife, you covenanted with her to forsake every other man or every other woman except that one you're married to. And son, we're not married to another. We're not a bunch of fornicators and whoremongers. We're married to Christ. We've been espoused unto Him. We are His bride. He deserves to have company and fellowship with His bride. Right, ain't it? Amen to God. I hate to think I never spent time with Mrs. Hall. If she denied me entrance in that house, it wouldn't be long. I'd pack my grip and take a hike, son. Amen. Wonder if he gets that feeling when he stands at the door and knocks. Nobody's willing to open the door and let him in. I'm on the house, children. I want to say his company also, by way of introduction, greatly encourages our faith. You know, Brother Peter in the book of Matthew 14, when Jesus come walking to him on the water and they thought it was a spirit. And he said, be not afraid, it is I. And old brother Peter in that scripture said, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And I don't care how everybody else preaches that. Let your heart, until Peter got his eyes on the waves and the wind that was blowing, the presence of Jesus on that water, my friend. He said, if my God can do it, glory to His name, and He has bid me to do it, then I must have the ability to do the same thing He's doing. And Peter got out of that boat and went to walking on that water. That, his company will encourage your faith greatly. And you'll see that you can do some things you never dreamed you could do. I never dreamed I could preach, and I'm not much of one, but I'm preaching. Huh? Y'all see some of the pictures of us, of our family. I drug one out the other day, me and Mrs. Hall and the three kids over at Rumsey on the steps of the old Rumsey Faith Baptist Church over there that I started. My little Miss Hall looked like a little baby. And I don't know what I look like, but the whole family looked like a bunch of Pentecostals back then. Girls had on them big long dresses. Miss Hall had that big honey bun beehive hairdo up on her head. I'm going to tell you, when I first started, I thought, Lord, I mean, it ain't no way that I'll ever be a preacher. How can I pastor a church just a little old insignificant nobody? But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've walked with the Lord and talked with the Lord. I've enjoyed His fellowship and company. And son, by faith I stand in the grace of God. And by grace I am what I am unto this day for Him. My faith.
Amen.
I told the folks over here yesterday, I don't know how we raise $250,000 a year for WSOF, but we do it. Just believe God for it. Amen. I want to say His company provides immediate help when we're in trouble. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm in trouble and ain't had any help. Have you asked? The Bible said there in that same text that Peter, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Any of you in here this morning feel like you're about to sink? Go under! I told some of those men up there the other day, I remember a time I jumped out in a rice paddy in Vietnam. They said, well, it's a secure LZ and it's a rice paddy and it's flat and good. Said there won't be any problem. And when I hit that water in that rice paddy, son, my feet didn't stop till I was into my chin. You know what I done? I cried, help! But I realized everybody else was in the same pickle I was in. I got news for you, everybody in this building and outside of this building, we're all in the same pickle, son. We're in the muck and the mire up to our eyeballs, and we cannot pull ourselves out by our own bootstraps. We better call on the Lord who is able to help, and if He's nearby. I want you to notice the Bible, hey, He didn't have to dispatch a jetliner to get to Peter. He didn't have to book a ticket and fly on American Airlines to get there. He was in Peter's company. And the Bible said immediately, Jesus just stretched out His arm immediately. Why? Because He was right there in the company of old brother Peter. Now I'm telling you, His company, my friend, will provide help for us when we're in trouble. Is anybody getting anything at all? We ain't got to the message yet. I want to say, fourthly, the wrong company can hinder you. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you, friend. Spiritually. Come, my beloved, let us. Not John Doe or Joe Blow. Let us. Not Uncle Henry, Aunt Susie, or Uncle George. Let us. Not some backslidden friend, not some old mossy back brother or sister out yonder. Come! Hey, come, my beloved, and let us! You better be careful who you're running with. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." See, we don't want that today. Oh, Uncle so-and-so, bless his heart, I know that he just cussed a preacher out and threatened to whoop him and split the church and drove 25 people out of the church and destroyed the church and accused the preacher of this and the deacons of that and the Sunday school teacher. But you know, they're just pretty good friends. Even if they're saved, that Bible said, stay away from them, that they might learn to be ashamed of their stinking rebellion before God. Come on in the house, youngins. Need any further help on that? We're to choose the right company even when it comes to professing Christians. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, said, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." You don't keep company with fornicators. But he goes on to say, "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world." Paul said, "I am just not talking about that crowd out there that's lost and on their way to hell." He said, "Are with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world." He said, if you stop holding company with worldly heathen, you would have to go plumb out of the world. He said, that's not who I'm talking about. Altogether. Stay away from them as much as you can. Don't company, don't fellowship with that crowd. What fellowship has light with darkness? The sons of God with Belial. But he said, not altogether that crowd. Not like this right here. He said, if any man that is called a brother, if he's called a brother, and be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. Do you know what an extortioner is? We can pretty well define drunkards in one thing or another. I'm talking about that fellow tries to beat you out of the very coat you got on your back. Amen. Dishonest egg sucker. Amen. With such an one, no. Now get this, not to eat. Don't even sit down at a table and put a piece of turkey meat in your mouth with some egg sucker that claimed to be saved and is living like hell. Stay away from that crowd. That's right, and you can take that in a good light or you can just lump it. Don't make no difference to me, buddy. I didn't write the Bible, I preach it. Amen. Hallelujah. We excommunicate people from the church and then other folks cuddle up to them, bless God, like they're a teddy bear. They try to crucify half the church membership and we won't cuddle up to them. A friend, like they're a little teddy bear, and we ought to treat them like they're a scorpion. And I could name you a few, but I won't unless some of you blew your lid. Come on, the house. Is that the Bible or not? Now I've got to my thought. She said, "Come, my beloved. I want company with you, not the fornicators, not the professors, not that crowd out yonder in the world. I want company with you." Let's me and you go into the field. Lord, let's go into the village. And when we get there, let's lodge. Let's hang around a little while. And then when we went into the field and lodged a while in the villages, said, "Let's just me and you, if you don't mind, go on up to the vineyards and check out the vineyard a little bit and see what's taking place around there." Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to have fun this morning. There is no better company at all than to have Christ in your heart. Amen. To have Christ as your company in your heart.
Son, He is with you every step of the way as company, dwelling in your heart.
She said, come, let us. He's there, friend. He's in the heart. He's the eyes on the inside looking out every place we go. Listening to everything we say, every conversation we have. Have you got Him in your heart this morning? Do you? Hey, and I want to say that in the secular, or in the, not the secular, but in the solitary places of your heart, some of the most wonderful places in all the world for you to keep company with Him.
Amen.
You can speak to Him in there, nobody can hear a word of it but you and Him.
Amen.
He can speak to you and nobody can hear a thing He's a saying but you and Him.
Amen.
He can just kiss you with kisses of His mouth that's sweeter
Amen.
Than wine. And your spikenard that ascends up to Him as a king as He sits
Amen.
At the table is worship in His wonderful holy presence.
Amen.
God help us. We ought to be spiritual people.
Amen.
Listen to me, and I'll try to hurry through these. If His company is in our heart, it will keep our heart tender for Him. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. But I'm telling you, if our heart has grown cold because of a lack of the manifest presence of Christ, it cannot be tender.
Amen.
Some of you in here, that I used to preach on the cross, and I'd see tears
yes,
swelling up in your eyes.
Amen.
Make their way down to your cheek, across your cheek, and like rivers, they'd drop off of your chin, look like Niagara Falls. But anymore, it don't seem to bother you. I'm going to tell you why your heart's not as tender as it once was.
Amen.
You begin to company things in your heart rather than the Lord Jesus. Somebody, there's no room at the end for Him this year.
Amen.
You have to go to the stable, Lord. Sleep out there in the straw with the animals, but not in the warmth and the enclosure of my heart. Oh, no. I'll give you everything I have, but I cannot give you, Lord, my heart. I'm telling you, it is your heart He wants today.
Amen.
If He's there, He'll keep your heart tender. I've got to hurry, and I won't say secondly. If He's there, He'll keep your heart temperate. Somebody said, preacher, what on earth do you mean? Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 9:25, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means self-control. Control it. Paul said, I keep my body under. If He's in there, buddy, we won't have any problem controlling our body. We'll put some restraints on ourselves. There ain't no restraints today in our Baptist churches. Son, it's about whatever we want to do, we're going to do it. If it feels good, man, do it. I don't know. I may be exaggerating. But I'm thinking that I read in the newspaper where it said Patrick Ewing had been to bed with 20,000 different women. 20,000! And you want to, hey, and Baptists want to let their churches, children, play Little League ball and basketball and teach them the role models. Is that crowd playing sport? In a pig's eye, I hope they all lose.
Amen.
Heard them say on the news just over in Louisville that Indiana beat Kentucky Wildcats in football. I said, hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah!
The only problem I got with that, I wish they could arrange it somewhere where Indiana lost too.
Amen.
We want to teach our kids that mess. Irvin, Magic Man, the Magic Man, got eight!
Amen.
Well, now, preacher, he probably got them off a hypodermic needle. Yeah, he probably got him off some prostitute.
Amen.
No self-control, buddy.
Amen.
Amen.
These companies in our heart, it'll keep us truthful. It'll keep us thankful.
Amen.
If his, that's right. If we're keeping the right company and giving his rightful place in the heart. Hold on now. Don't buy leave. But she said, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. That lodging in the villages does not mean a one-night stand, friend. Let us lodge. I've got a feeling that it's referring to an extended period of time. And there's only one place I know that we can have Him outside our heart for an extended period of time, and that's in the home.
Amen.
I want to ask something. Do you ever keep company with Him in your home?
Amen.
The only time you ever get anything from God is in church. Shimei, shimei, shimei. Shame on you, Sergeant. That's right, ain't it? I wonder if he's in your home. Or when you leave here, do you hang your Christianity on a nail at the back door, front door, and hike on out the door? Do you leave Christ in the church? Or do you turn to the home? I'm telling you, friend, that the Spirit-filled life in the home will make the home what it ought to be for God if we'll keep company in the home. It'll change things in that home. You heifer. I told you not to say that again. Well, I'm going out for a while. Be back later. Well, where are you going? I want you to know what I told you. Are you listening? His company in the home will assure us of some real peace there. That is right. The Bible said in Isaiah 32:18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Where is your habitation this morning? Home is where your heart is, old Benny boy. Called me up there yesterday. He said, Daddy, I told him when this job's over, he said, I told him I'm coming home. I said, leave today if you want to, son. Home, I'm telling you. Home is our heaven on earth. It ought to have peace in the home and harmony in the home. It ought to have a little heaven on earth when we get to our home.
Amen.
Ain't that right? God help us. Have a little peace. You know what the Lord said in His apostolic commission? He said, when you enter into a home, into a house, listen carefully. He said, when you enter in whatsoever house ye enter in, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, then your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. Your kids keep you from having peace? Your children screaming and squalling and cantankerous and hooping and bellering and hollering. I'm going to tell some of you mommies and daddies right now, and I love you. But son, if you don't take the rod of education and apply it to the seed of learning of some of your children, you're going to think, hey, I'm telling you, they'll turn on you someday. You better correct them now. No wonder some of you, most of you, can't come to the church and worship God. Your house is in a turmoil constantly because of rebel, disobedient children.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you have to tell Johnny twice, Johnny's got big rebel problem, buddy. Oh, yes, sir. Now, I'm not saying you have to beat them kids to death, but Daddy, you better get their attention, friend.
Amen.
They, if they never get subject to you, they'll never get subject to God. And if they cause turmoil in your house, it won't be long till they'll cause havoc in the church house. You know what Brother Brown said up there yesterday? He said when his boy was 18 years old, the boy said, Daddy, I ain't. And before he could do it out of his mouth, Brother Brown said all 340 pounds of me had done nailed him with a shirt collar and had that boy up against the side of the wall, and I was fixing to punch his lights out.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it burns me, buddy.
Amen.
And I love you, but I'm telling you, it burns me.
Amen.
To hear your children look at you and say, no.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Susie, do this. I'd rather do this. I wouldn't give a flip what they'd rather do, buddy.
Amen.
Peace and hope.
Amen.
If the Son of Peace is there, if His company, if He is welcome there, then we'll be obedient to that Bible. We'll obey the commands of that book, and we'll demand peace in that place from our children. Some people call you on the telephone. You can hear kids in the background. Some sound like a baseball game, football, hooping and hollering and screaming and fighting and arguing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, "Preacher, I thought you were talking about His company. I am.
Right.
Where He's at in the home, son, there's a little peace,
right.
Tranquility, quietness, quietness." What's wrong with a little quiet stuff? Most folks can't stand for it to be quiet. I don't, hey, unless I'm with Mrs. Hall, I find no better place. Mrs. Hall, this church, in my upper room, door shut, nobody!
Amen.
Brother Gene Mathias told me the other day, he said, "Preacher," I said, "you look sleepy." He said, "I doze, but I never close." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I like my chair." In other words, he just reads that book and sits quietly in the presence of God. It drives some of you nuts to do that.
Amen.
I won't charge anything for that.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you His. Have you all mad at me now? His company in a home not only assures us of peace, but it assures us of His pardon.
Amen.
Woo! He looked up at an old sycamore tree out there and said, "Hey, publican, tax collector, man, what are you doing up there?" He said, "Come on down, because this day has salvation come to your house, inasmuch as you're also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hallelujah to God. I'm glad it brings peace. His company brings peace. His company brings peace. What happened to that old Philippian jailer? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm not necessarily promoting household salvation, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe everybody in your house can be saved.
Amen.
And I believe God wants everybody in your house to be saved. Everybody.
Amen.
Not from Papa Docker right on down to little baby.
Amen.
Oh, will the circle be unbroken? Oh, by and by, Lord, by and by. Willie, well, are they all in? I wish I had my little poem my mom and daddy gave me years ago for Christmas. Entitled, "Are All the Children In?" I'd love to. I read it at my daddy's funeral. I'd love to read it for you today. I'm going to tell you something, church. My heart's bleeding for you. Here's a thought God give me, and you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. God said, "Son, everybody is not going to mature to the same level of spirituality." And I said, "Yea, Lord. But I cannot keep from laboring toward that point." Because I desire it. And we are all coming into unity of the faith someday. I'm trying to hurry. We've slowed down. I'm going to tell you, His company in the home, it assures us of His unfailing purpose.
Amen.
Get this now. If you don't get anything I preach, get this. Proverbs 12:7. The wicked are overthrown and are not. But the house of the righteous shall stand. I'm telling you, that is God's desire. It's for your home to stand the wind and the rain, the testings, the trial. and to stand a home. And by the way, a home requires mommy and daddy. And if God gives them children, children. Standing. I'm trying to hurry. His company, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. What about His company in God's house? We said, let us get up early to the vineyards. I believe that's speaking of God's house. Now, some of you need to hang on right here. I'm going to tell you what his company in church and why a lot of folks don't want it. His company in the house of God will divide the sheep from the goat. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? If you ever read Luke chapter number 4? The Bible said in verse number 16 there, and he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to preach, and so on and so forth. And in verse number 28, that crowd, they in the synagogue, when they heard these, were filled with wrath and rose up and cast him out of the city. Amen. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying his company, son, down at the church house will cause the billy goat gruffers to raise up. To get in a, we'd rather have a little wider room to roam in than what you preach, preacher. Amen. Besides that, hear yourself, physician. You know a prophet's not without honor saving his own country. Hear yourself! I know you. I know how you lived. I understand everything about you. I've run with you. I've worked for you on the ministry. I've been here at WSOF a long time, and I know everything about you. And that's exactly why some of you ain't going any further with God than you are. You've worked at WSOF so long, you've seen the preacher and realized that I'm human just like you, and rather than obey the Bible, you want to try to follow me. And all you ever see is bad points and bad picks rather than the good things. Amen. Not only does it divide the sheep from the goat, but it delights the saints. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It defeats Satan's purpose. It devours the sin that is there, his company does. It consumes it. And I'll close with this. His company in the harvest. Come, my beloved, let us go into the field. We ain't going to do much harvesting without Him. He loves you. He wants your company and He desires your company in every area of your life. Now, I never got into all this, but when she said, come, my beloved, that was an invitation to His promise in the previous verse. And He said, I will go up to the palm tree. She said, come. Come on. I want you here.
Amen.
And she wasn't trying to stir Him up. He don't need stirring up.
Amen. We do. Yeah.
His company in the heart, the home, the house of God, and the harvest. Every aspect of our life. What about you? You want His company in your life? Or are you satisfied stringing along, keeping company with everybody out in the world? You can't have God and mammon. You can't have Christ in the world.
Amen.
Let's stand together.